Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
And welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John, and I am from WDWParkhoppers.com. Joining me, as always, he's the venerable, he's the highly intellectual, he's the stimulatable, Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com.
All right.
I thought that was better than lovable-huggable.
That is true. That is true. Although,
that's true.
Something a lot to say about lovable-huggable.
How you doing tonight, pal?
Good. How about you?
Hey, man, I'm good. Came off a great weekend. Had a blast this weekend. We had a great meetup. Probably best meetup we've been all month.
Yeah. So, considering we do it once a month, that was great then.
The best meetup we've ever had all August. It was all great. Month. No, really, honestly, it was really great.
Okay. Good always to.
Splitsville was not ready for our kind of chaos.
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Had a good time.
I think you can make reservations now. And I mean, next time I will do that, call them and warn them. But it's always hard to, get a large table.
Right.
And then with the meetup, you don't always know who's going to show up and who's not going to show up. They say they're going to show up on Facebook, but not everybody does that. So it's hard. I could have set a table of 10, and then it could have been, three of us. So.
Me and you and Sid and Vince and your mom, that would have been.
Yeah. So we don't know. But it turned out well. We gave away some prizes. We had some fun. We had some food. We had some conversation. And that's it.
And we went over. Sid and I went over and we caught the Star Wars.
First Holy time.
Cats, dude.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. I have to ask you. Don't you love the 7.1 Dolby surround sound?
Oh my God.
Where were you standing? Were you able to get the feeling?
You know the two towers they built?
Yes.
We were in the middle of the towers.
Oh, perfect place.
Probably 15 feet back
from
the doors. So dead center is where the doors are. We were like 15 feet back from there in the dead center. Yeah. And it was just that when, ship.
When the ship comes overhead and you feel the rumble, you're like, what the hell is that?
It was so cool. And every main character had a moment. And we want to see it again from like a lot closer. Mm. And, maybe to be able to catch
a little
bit more.
I want to see it further back, more from like, say, the Crossroads sign.
I wouldn't mind seeing it further back if I was higher up. I want to see more of what's going on the theater. There's so many people in front of me. Yeah, there's some tall guys in front of me. I don't know how much of it Sarah got to see because she's shorter.
Yeah.
The best note for me, honestly, is when they do the introduction. In 1977.
Yeah.
They drop the Star Wars logo and the Growlins
and it's the music, the first five notes.
Yeah. They drop the Grauman's Chinese Theater and the Star Wars logo, so it looks like it did back in 1977. Right. It was just such a nice touch. I don't know who all was in charge of that, but kudos to you guys. Good God, that was just awesome. Probably the best fireworks right now going on property. So good.
So now Now, I can't laugh when I say that. You know, people laugh when I say it, and you know, people's like, "Oh, come on, they've had far worse." Not like this. When they could put 7.1 Dolby surround sound in the middle of a park, I don't know who else can pull that off. I really don't. I don't think anybody's tried it.
There's the thing. Pulled off well. That's the
Okay.
That's the reality. Being able to pull something like that off extremely well, and Disney Disney did it. So good job for you. And we rag on them a lot, but
they need props for that. But they need a good pat on the back. Somebody needs a good pat on the back for that show.
Absolutely.
Whoever the entertainment director of the studios and that show.
Yep.
Good for you.
Good job.
Yeah. About time.
Hey, I'm going to take your job, and I'm gonna do the sponsors for our show. If you want to tell them about the upcoming events, can we do that? That'd be a little different.
Yeah, we
should probably talk about that ahead of time, but why not?
No,
call Audible. Hey guys, if you're coming down to Walt Disney World and you want to have a VIP level event, a vacation, a family outing, a family reunion, you've got to call our friends over at Theme Park Concierges. They do VIP tours. They take you around. They provide concierge service for all the four parks at Walt Disney World, plus every theme park here in Orlando, plus now Disneyland. Ramon and his team do full day or half day tours. They take you around. They take care of you. You don't have to worry about a thing. They do the planning and all that stuff. And the cool thing is Ramon's told us that for everybody that contacts them and says that they are a friend of the Disney Parks Podcast, they will save you 10% on what you do. So that's incredible. Not only is it a better deal than you'll get anywhere else on the planet, you're going to save an additional 10%. So contact them at Ramon at themeparkconcierges.com, or you can call them directly at 407-257-9973. You can also look them up on facebook.com/Ramon VIP concierge, or you can go straight to themeparkconcierges.com.
All right. Hey, if you weren't at the event on Saturday, we had a meetup in Splitsville, which was a lot of fun. We had a really nice turnout, and we had some fun food, drinks, some trivia, and all of the shenanigans that goes with that. Now, we have two more events coming up that we're going to tell you about. One is September 10th. We're doing a fireworks cruise. Tickets are available now. There's only a few left. We have two different pricing options. One is $47, and you'll get a little swag. And the next one is $37, and you'll get no swag. So pick your poison, I guess, or your cost pain, and join us on a boat. We're going to take it out of the Contemporary. We're going to go a little bit around Bay Lake and then head over to Seven Seas Lagoon. Park it in front, watch fireworks while the music is piped into the boat. Don't ask me how they do that, but they do. And we'll have a good time. Next up, new announcement on this show. October 28th, we are having a special dinner with Disney master artist Kevin John. The event will start at 8 p.m. We are dining at Kona Cafe. This will be $40 per person and does not, unfortunately, include your dinner. Okay, this is just for the dining experience. So you can bring anything of Kevin John's that you have. You can bring it to the dinner. Kevin will sign it. He'll personalize it. He'll make it really cute. And let me tell you, this is not willy-nilly stuff that he puts. He will really make it personal to you. And he will really do a nice job on the back of the art. You'll probably want to put the back of the art up rather than the front of the art because he does a really nice job. This is a one-time experience that, you know, Kevin, you know, will do this. It's only going to be 8 of us. So sign up now. If you go to Facebook.com, Disney Parks Podcast, look at the events. You'll see an event for dinner with Kevin John. Click on that to get tickets. That'll take you to the ticket site, which is over on Eventbrite. Sign up there. Now, afterwards, we're hoping We're hoping that Kevin can stay, but he has some other things he has to do. The plans after the dinner is to grab a Dole Whip and head out to the Poly Beach, because also that night will be Hollow Witches. So we're hoping that we'll be able to see Hollow Witches from the Poly Beach. That's our plan, unless Disney puts a fork in it and tells us to go bye-bye. Because the last time, I think they were giving out wristbands. They were asking everybody for key cards. If you didn't have a wristband, they were telling you, sorry, but you can't go on the beach. So we're going to give it a shot. We'll see what happens. And that's that. We have a November and December event that we're working on. We'll let you know when those are all done. And last but not least, if you have not signed up for the Disney by the Numbers T-shirt club, this is this month's shirt, Silly Symphonies, a nice old retro shirt. You can do this by going to DisneyByTheNumbers.com. On the left-hand side, you will see a link to the T-shirt club. Fill out the form there, sign up. You buy only the shirts that you want. There's no obligation. It's not you get something and you don't like it. You only buy the shirts that you want or like, and then that's it. So that's it. What else we got going on, John?
I don't know. I think that's pretty much it, brother.
That's
I think
it?
You nailed everything. Yeah, very excited about the Kevin John thing. I've talked to him a couple times, but I've never met him, so I'm looking forward to that. Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of his art. Yeah, he's one of those guys, if you follow him on, like, Facebook, you see all the really cool things he's working on. So
Yeah. Maybe he'll tell us some stuff that he's got in the pipeline that he hasn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's one of those things too. Like if you don't get into the dinner because we're limited, come join us for a Dole Whip and Hollow Wishes. We'll certainly we'll know the time for the fireworks by then, and we'll certainly tweet that out and all that good stuff. So that's cool. So I think it's that time, my friend. Are you about ready to get in to the news? We're getting pretty good at that, I think. It's working out really well. So, hey, now you can say freeze at the Disney Photo Pass, because now it's capturing you on your adventure on Frozen Ever After. You can relive the magic of your adventure long after you've journeyed through Arendelle, as Disney Photo Pass service offers an online photo capture opportunity. While you're enjoying a boat tour through the Kingdom of Arendelle, Norway, during a special summer snow day with Queen Elsa, Anna, Olaf, Kristoff, and friends, our camera, meaning Disney's camera, will capture a photo of you during an exciting moment of your journey. To preview, purchase, and download this attraction photo, you must be wearing a magic band during your adventure. Your photo will be automatically associated to your My Disney Experience account, where it can be viewed at MyDisneyPhotoPass.com or in the My Disney Experience mobile app, alongside all of your vacation memories from Disney Photo Pass service. You can receive all of your Disney Photo Pass Walt Disney World vacation photos, including select attraction photos with Memory Maker. Your Disney Photo Pass photos can be purchased individually online or at Disney Photo Pass centers located around the parks. This is cool. I mean, I can't imagine there's like this. I guess the aha moment is probably when Marshmallow comes out or something
Now, they're not doing the little mini motion ones. I think they're just taking a picture, I think.
Somehow. Yeah.
They're just snapping your photo. They're not doing the whole, like, Buzz Lightyear motion.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Something spins in and, Elsa turns you into a frozen, zombie or something.
Awesome.
Hey, and don't forget, most of us annual pass holders, get these things free. So, don't forget to tap your band on the way out.
If you have that feature on your
roof. If you have that.
You do not.
I said some of us do.
I know. I'm not.
Okay, the next story is from our friends out on the West Coast over at Disneyland. And, I'm going to read this anyway because this kind of makes me a little mad. I mean, they get an annual pass holder, AP days, and we get nothing over here on the East Coast. We don't get any annual pass holder days.
Yeah, I did a little Facebook Live session right before this, and I said, this is interesting because, Disneyland's getting annual pass holder days, AP days. Why don't they show some love over to the Walt Disney World people? Are we not worthy of having a little annual pass holder day? I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know, it's odd.
All right, so stick with me on this because it's a little bit different. They're holding two different days, okay? The first experience is starting on September 6th to September 18th and will be themed to Halloween and will include this. The AP Day Showcase will be at Stage 12 in Hollywoodland. It will include a character meet and greet inside Stage 12 with Wizard Donald, Skeleton, and Skeleton Goofy. You also have a showcase of Halloween time decor from Horticulture, Resort Enhancement, and Food and Beverage on the weekends. There'll be a showcase of up-and-coming content for the resort, which includes the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Main Street Electrical Parade, you're welcome, Food and Wine, and more to be announced. Also, there'll be an information center for amenity distribution, AP Day questions, and all that other kind of stuff. There'll be an activity table with coloring sheets and also complimentary water. The AP Day's Welcome Center over at the Paradise Gardens Gazebo will have vacation planning ticket cart for renewals and activations, AP-branded photo op, a button distribution. They got some pretty cool buttons for this, so if anybody wants to send me one, I'd like one. Social media presence to promote Disneyland AP, and pin trading. There'll be some pass holder offerings as well, and this will include unique artwork button by artist Jeff Granto, free recipe cards for pumpkin twists, pumpkin bread, rosemary lamb chops, and sweet potato biscuits, AP Days inspired menu items at Paradise Gardens, Schmoozies, Mickey Mouse cupcake at Paradise Garden, Malibu mocha drink at the Schmoozies, and also exclusive merchandise at Seaside Souvenirs and the Studio Store, along with PhotoPass special day discounts and more or less fall mystery shopper AP adventure activities. Now, part two of this will be on September 19th to October 2nd and will focus on fall holidays and Thanksgiving. The AP Showcase will start at Stage 12 Patio, and this will be a character meet and greet inside Stage 12 with Pocahontas, Miko, and Liberty Square Mini. That's an interesting combination. It'll be a showcase of fall and Thanksgiving decor and offerings from Horticulture, Resort Enhancements, and Food and Beverage. Also, there'll be a showcase of up-and-coming content for the resorts, which includes the Guardians, the Main Street Electrical Parade, Food and Wine, and other things that they will announce later. Activity tables for coloring, complimentary water. And all of this is really the same as the rest. So the one extra thing that they will have at the end will be a I Spy with My Disney Eye and Where in the World AP Adventure Activities. So that will be a little bit different. And the recipe cards will be a little bit different. So if you're a Disneyland pass holder, don't forget these dates. It will start on, once again, it'll start on September 6th to the 18th. And then the second pass will be on September 19th to October 2nd. So go check that out.
I think that that's great. I'm a big fan of Disney doing cool things for pass holders. I would love for Disney to do something really cool like that over here in Walt Disney World.
Yeah. I think they're doing that. Well, maybe, I don't know. You know, we're getting Destination D, but, you know, they get the Expo, we get Destination D. You know, that's the swap there. So, I don't know.
All right. That seems fair.
You know, the only pass holder event I've been to was the 6th year anniversary of Expedition Everest, and that was literally almost about 6 years ago. So, I don't remember a pass holder event since then. That was only for pass holders here in Florida.
Yeah, I can't remember anything either. And yeah, I can't think of anything. I can remember is I think it was a 5-year, 5th-year anniversary for Expedition Everest. That's where we met.
Whatever. Yeah.
It was a long time ago because that's where we met. So
yeah,
we need something like that. That'd be fun. Yeah. But you know, hey, good on you, Disneyland.
Right.
Hey, if you are tired of your Magic Bands and you're looking for something a little different, you can order a Magic Band skin from MagicBands.com. They have incredible pre-designed bands or skins, I should say, that can cover your Magic Bands. Or maybe you're having a very special event. You want to do something really unique, really cool for your family gathering, maybe a reunion or a wedding or a honeymoon. They can take your designs and create them and send them back to you so you can have your designs on your own Magic Band. So they do that, but they also do skins for other devices and things as well. So go check them out at MagicBands.com. Now, if you follow the link from DisneyParksPodcast.com or let them know at checkout that you're friends with Disney Parks Podcast, they will save you 10%. And how you do that is typing in Disney Parks Podcast, all one word, at the checkout, and they'll save you 10% off of your order. Their stuff is already very economical, and on top of that, they're going to give you 10% off. So MagicYourBands.com, go check them out. Tell them Disney Parks Podcast sent you, and I think that you will be very, very happy. This news story is my second favorite news story of the week because I'm fascinated by this. Real working Star Wars lightsaber training experiences have been filed for patent by Disney. Let that sink in for a second.
I know.
If you ever wanted to experience what it would like to be a training as a Jedi, to be Luke Skywalker, you may want to take a look at this latest Disney patent. Now, again, patents don't necessarily guarantee that it's going to come to the parks anytime soon, but they're already thinking about doing something like this. So let this just sit on your head for a little bit. Yep. And I quote, an entertainment environment has a user with a faux lightsaber that interacts with a drone flying through the air or operated with hidden rods to appear as if it's flying through the air. The faux lightsaber has LEDs attached thereto to provide IR light to the drone. As an LED is turned on, an invisible light sensor built into the drone captures an image of the field of view with a bright spot in the position of the activated LED. A visible light source built into the drone then projects through particle matter toward the faux lightsaber. As a result, the user is provided with the illusion that the faux lightsaber has deflected a laser beam. Multiple LEDs can be activated in sequence at various times to give the user the impression that the movement of the by the user or the faux lightsaber is deflecting multiple laser beams. Now remember, a lot of times these patents mean very little. Rumors have suggested that Star Wars Land coming to Walt Disney World Disneyland would be full of role-playing experiences like this. Again, it might not be a big deal.
And don't you think with virtual reality technology that they could certainly pull off something like this? I mean, if I had my virtual reality goggles on, okay, think of like Luke putting on the helmet that, you know, blinded him, right? My virtual reality helmet. So it would be a helmet and it would be like that. And I, you know, you could do anything, you know. You could have something in the real world working with something in the virtual world, and I think they could pull this off very easily.
This would be great, but the thing is, you're forgetting there's so many cool things that you could do practically. I mean, just stop and think about it. You do Jedi Training Academy. Jedi Training Academy is not only lightsaber.
Yeah.
That's, we've forgotten that the Jedis did more than just lightsaber. I mean, Luke went to Dagobah and did not train on his lightsaber. He was training to use the Force. Now stop and think about this. What if Disney created a training area that people could come into and it says, okay, now you need to focus the Force. Let it flow through you. And they could rig up something that would make where you were standing kind of vibrate.
Right.
And then it would stop. And you could feel it. You could feel it flowing through you. Okay, try it again. And it would vibrate. And then you could actually raise stones. They can do that practically so much cheaper and better. I mean, that. I mean, if you were a kid and you walk in and you get taught how to levitate rocks, could you imagine how your brain would explode?
I mean, once again, I think you could do that with virtual reality.
Well, you could, but the technology to do really cool things is super easy. I mean, it's not like I'm trying to get Disney to chintz out, but the kids are already digging fighting Kylo Ren and Darth Vader with plastic lightsabers. They get the concept of imagination. But what if you could walk into a room and literally destroy the room? What if you had like sections where we had like lightsaber training, you had all the kids in one room, and said, guys, you know, we're being attacked, you know, we need to bring the building down, and they all join forces and the entire place crumbles, and then they walk out and then it resets itself. I mean, just the thoughts behind that could be so cool.
We'll see what they do. I like that the patent's been filed. I like that Disney possibly could be thinking about things like this. The fact that they're thinking of these things now so that we'll get them, you know, when these lands open up. Hey, good job, Disney. Maybe we won't have to wait 14 years to get Avatar land, you know. So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, all of these things will be in place, you know. That's good. Good for them. Good for them. All right. Hey, if you like the show and you'd like to help us out, please go visit us at patreon.com/Disney Parks Podcast. There you can help by contributing to the show, and we'll send you some free things with your contributions, depending on what level you sign up for. And we'd like to thank our current contributors, David and Stacy. We appreciate you and thank you for your support. Okay, this was, I thought it was an interesting little piece this week, too. You know, the next live action, I think, is Beauty and the Beast. And I think they wrapped up principal photography already. And I think they're, getting ready to release that soon. So the next thing is in the pipeline. And now is the live action version of Dun Dun Dun. Little Mermaid.
Brother Bear. It's not Brother Bear?
No. Sorry. Little Mermaid. Now, this is interesting. So, Hamilton's Lin-Manuel Miranda is joining forces with the legendary, and I use the word legendary very strongly, Disney composer Alan Menken to compose additional songs for an upcoming live-action version of the Disney animated classic Little Mermaid. This was from a website called Deadline that Disney is pairing Hamilton's Lin-Manuel. I don't think he's going to be able to get rid of the word Hamilton. And so it's going to be now like part of his name. He's being paired with iconic songwriter Alan Menken to do some stuff. This is based on Little Mermaid. I don't know if you knew this, Sean, was based on a Hans Christian Andersen, The Little Mermaid.
I did.
Okay, good. Mark Platt will produce the film along with Miranda in a configuration just set by Sean Bailey, president of Walt Disney Studio Motion Picture Production. Deadline has revealed, that's the website, in May, that Disney was figuring out a way to add the classic title to a slate of films based on the studio's animated films. I don't know how they'll do the mermaid part, but I'm sure they'll figure that out. This one is being orchestrated as a mix of pre-existing songs from the 1989 animated classic, for which Menken won 2 Oscars, sharing Best Song with Howard Ashman and winning Best Score on his own. I think they're just going to go through the complete catalog. I really do.
Yes, next, you know what's next.
Aladdin has got to be coming up. They're going to take all that stuff that, you know, Rick worked on in the golden years of Disney's animation glory, and they're going to make a live action out of it.
So it'll be live action Aladdin, live action Lion King,
and that's going to be a little weirder, I guess, because they've done Broadway versions of that. You know?
Right, if they even do those. I mean, they might not need to, because the adaptations that are on Broadway are so far and away better.
Yeah.
But they've also got You know, we've got Mary Poppins 2 coming out, so that's interesting. Yep. Yep. What would be a good movie in that, you know, in that, I mean, I don't know, Princess and the Frog?
Princess and the Frog, Merida. I'd like to see Brave. Yeah. Live action.
The sad thing about Brave is the shots from Brave wouldn't look nearly as good as they do from Brave. You know?
That will be tough. Oh, that will be tough. Yeah. They'd have to green screen that background, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even the real woods don't look that good.
Yeah, no crap. No crap.
You know.
So that's exciting. So yeah. I'm interested to see what they do. Lin-Manuel Miranda is just the it boy right now. He is
everywhere.
Yeah. Disney snatched him up pretty quick. So
yeah,
good on you, Lin.
Yeah. Yeah, he announced his Hamilton retirement. It's like, we got things for you to do.
I'm too busy to keep rapping about history.
Yeah, come with us. Hey, we'd like to thank another sponsor, Diz Wheels. Diz Wheels offers mobility scooters, strollers, and wheelchairs starting at a mere $20 a day for a one-day rental. They have free delivery and free pickup. Please contact them at DizWheels.com or call them at 407-501-6883 to book your scooter, stroller, or wheelchair now. And remember, they are probably the only place in Florida right now that's doing a one-day rental. So if you only need it for one day, call Diz Wheels.
Yep. And in my third favorite piece of news, I wore this just because.
There you go.
Talked about this before, but we're finding out more information about exactly what guests may find. Instead of a slow-moving ride through dinosaurs and film clips with the blockbuster Marvel property, crash lands into the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. Because rumors are starting to become fact. We were still in the rumor category, but it's starting to really look like it's going to become a Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot. And it's going to be a roller coaster. Just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I'm still wishing that they would do a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction and then do Tron. But so the attraction would already be historic, as it would be the very first future world attraction to break away from the fundamental edutainment theme that the park has had for nearly 35 years now. However, it could now be an even more profound statement, as it would be the very first roller coaster in the park's history, and only the sixth ride that could be categorized under the thrill category. Apparently, the ride would feature both elaborate scenes and a long coaster portion, very similar to the rumored plans for Captain America coaster, once slated for the New Land at California Adventure. The existing Universe of Energy building and attraction would be demolished.
Yeah, wow.
Moment of silence. Okay. The one interesting wrinkle, and this is the first question I had when I saw this. The one interesting wrinkle and check this out, the words Marvel and Guardians of the Galaxy will not be appearing in the renderings of the attraction that exists so far. This is, of course, a product of the legal restrictions set in place on Walt Disney World by the parameters of the Marvel Universal Studios contract that still exists. Sources seem to be convinced that the attraction will be announced before the end of 2016, possibly at the upcoming Destination D event at Walt Disney World. It sounds like the project has been approved and is moving forward. I don't know how they're going to get past the no Marvel, no Guardians of the Galaxy. How do you do that?
Yeah, just call it something else until the contract's up.
Star-Lord's Awesome Ride, you know.
Maybe they'll just spell it backwards. I don't know.
Ride with Groot, you know.
The Galaxy Prison Guards of Defenders. Tomorrow.
Defenders of the Universe, which is a whole other different property, and I think that's a DC property.
Yeah.
So, could they get away with the Guardians?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But, okay, so enough of that. Let's just talk about the fact that Epcot's getting ready to maybe potentially have a theme, roller coaster.
If it was up to me, I'd put it in the back of the park. There's so much stuff up front that nobody goes to the back of the park. There's a lot of people that do this. Either they're going in the back to do all their dining and, shopping kind of things and just go into the – there are days that I only go to the park, do a couple things in front, and then leave. I never even make it into World Showcase. The attraction is actually a good idea because I think it'll bring more people into World Showcase.
You're kidding me.
On non-food and wine days, yes.
Okay, so you've got 3.5 months of Flower and Garden Festival and another 3 months of Food and Wine Festival. That's 6 months out of the year that there is a festival going on.
Right.
Not to mention Christmas. Not to mention, well, I guess that's it, Christmas. So you've got 2 more months of Christmas. So you've got 8 months.
So you're too crowded back there, John?
What I'm saying is I'm not worried about World Showcase not having people in it because – They're going to have the same problem that they have with Soarin'. It's always going to be like an hour and a half wait. What else are you going to do? You're going to go back to World Showcase and you're going to get lost back in there. I still think that they should do a roller coaster through all the lands, just take up all that space behind there and put a coaster back there, zipping through the pavilions, pissing people off left and right. But I think that would be cool. Yeah.
The chat room is asking when the contract with Universal expires. Do we know that?
I think it's a 50-year theme. Hang on a second. Universal, Orlando, Marvel.
50 years is a long time, my friends. I'll never see the end of that contract.
Let's see. This was 2015.
That'd be, 102. Before I see the end of that contract.
Dude, let's see.
Johnny, remember when they couldn't have any Marvel in the Universal box?
Back in the 1990s, long before Marvel was acquired by Disney, Marvel and Universal signed an impressively tight contract for the rights to the characters within the theme park attractions. The contract limits the use of characters from the east coast of the country to Universal Orlando, with even tighter restrictions within a 60-mile radius of the park. Duh. The contract does have a few stipulations, like ensuring upkeep of the rides, but overall is definitely more favorable to Universal than Marvel. Since that initial contract, Disney has bought Marvel, pumped millions of dollars into it, made it one of the most popular brands of modern film. Correct. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not seeing a date.
Hey, so you know what? John will research that, and we'll see if we can post it up on the blog.
Yeah.
When we can find some more information about it. Because that's a good question. I'd like to know that, too. Because every time we talk about Marvel stuff, we always bump up against this contract, and I'd like to know when it's going to end. So maybe I can make some better speculations on things. But anyway. All right. Hey, last week's trivia question was, what message is broadcast over the telegraph at the Frontierland train station at Disneyland? And the correct answer is, Mr. Donahue?
You want me to tell you the answer? It's the welcome. Welcome to the happy thrall who
comes. The open day dedication.
From Walt, yeah.
Yep.
So I'm going down a rabbit trail. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ralph was the winner. That was a great guess, and you were correct, Ralph. We'll email you, send us your mailing address, and we'll send you something in the mail. This week's trivia question is this. Who are Elias and Flora Disney? And they are not fairy godmothers. I will give you that clue.
For real? That's your trivia question?
Come on. Some people are going to know, and some people are not.
If you don't know the answer to this question,
your Disney card's been revoked.
You're a communist.
All right. Here's another interesting story. We kind of spoke about this already. Disney's researching a new possible Magic Band replacement. Now, there's been a post on the FCC website, and that is the Federal Communication Commission, showing pictures of a prototype of a Magic Band puck that would be used. In theory, it would fit into an interchangeable strap or other items, and this would allow guests to simply keep this puck and interchange different straps and accessories to their own pleasing. And the change would then pricing in custom on-demand straps and mean Disney would have to buy less devices with these RFID chips. And it would also reduce the amount of ticket media that is in your My Disney Experience account. Every time you go, you get another Magic Band. Every time you go, you get another. So this would be a reusable puck that you would get to keep. And then each time, it would be linked to your account. That would be great because I got a pile, like everybody else, of Magic Bands. And I think this is a good solution because if I could just keep the device and then I figure out how I want to strap it on or buckle it on or whatever, I'm in for that. So, but we'll have to see if they even do this. I mean, maybe they're going to go a completely different way. So just because they have this file with the FCC doesn't mean that they're going to do it. But I think if they've gone that far to get a government entity involved, they're probably pretty – dedicated to this process already. So what do you think, John? Are you ready for a Magic Band puck?
Yeah, I'm so excited about the puck. The puck's so much, look, I think that the Magic Band's fine. The puck idea is great. They spent all this money and everybody's now Magic Bands and we've got all the Magic Band accessories and all this. Now we're talking a puck. Guys, before we start changing the mode of which we transfer the data, let's get everything that's supposed to be working. Just a crazy thought. Not to beat the horse that already has no skin, no hair, it's bones.
He's the glued already.
Yeah. It's if everything was supposed to be happening that was supposed to be happening with the Magic Bands, why not?
Maybe they can't do it until they get this puck in place, John.
Maybe they can't they can't tell you what's in the bill until you pass the bill.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the thing about Frozen. Okay, so I'm not wearing a Magic Band. Will I be able to – because it's reading the RFID off the Magic Band. It didn't say anything about tapping it. It's going to read it while you're there.
That's correct.
Okay. I don't have a Magic Band on. I've got my card. Is it going to be able to read the RFID off the card?
I say no.
It should be able to. I don't know why I wouldn't. But it's
buried in your pocket or the bottom of your wife's purse.
Right. Like Disney doesn't have powerful enough RFID readers.
I don't think so. These are not, I don't think, meant for that.
This is the same company you're talking about. It's talking about tracking our shoes.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Shoes and pucks and bands are different things, John.
Shoes and pucks and bands. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I don't know. We'll
that
see.
Should be the name of this podcast. Shoes, pucks, and bands. Oh, my.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. As long as it's not invasive, as long as it's not mandatory that I have to have one of those things, I don't care what Disney comes
up. Hey, listen, there are people that I know that go to the park and wrap their their card and the Magic Band in aluminum foil because they don't want Disney to know where they are at all. They tap their thing and then they put it in a case, a thing in their purse or their fanny pack or whatever because they don't want anybody to know where they are.
And I'm okay
if
with
you're
that.
If you're that paranoid, don't buy a pass.
Oh, come on, that's not fair. I mean, that's tantamount to saying why don't you put on your tinfoil hat while you're walking around the Magic Kingdom.
I do. Well, and my propeller.
Again, I think that whatever I've seen what I think could be the puck. Mm. I don't know where
it doesn't look very pretty. You know what it looks like? It looks like the rose at Beauty and the Beast restaurant. Be our guest. Doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I'm wondering how they're going to do, they're going to make this thing attractive, right?
Well, why am I going to wear something so huge?
We're going to be walking around. We're going to be walking around looking like a rapper with a clock, you know, with a clock on a chain. All right. You know, that's going to be great.
Or Iron Man with the thing that glows.
That's right. Don't put it too close. You'll get cancer, kids. So that'll be fun. Hey, we've got some news. You need to take a moment.
I did this story specifically for you, John. I love this. I'm not going to be able to read this with a straight face.
And this is not my number one news story. My number one news story is actually coming up here in a little bit. My beloved Stitch is about to no longer be representing in the park. Wreck-It Ralph is going to have a virtual reality attraction that will replace Stitch's Great Escape at the Magic Kingdom. Now, hear me out before you think I'm going to go railing on how great Stitch's Great Escape is. I'm not. That attraction is not great. I'm not going to go as far as say it sucks. But I would rather... No, I probably would do Stitch's Great Escape before I would do Tiki Room under new management. Yeah, that should say anything. According to the latest rumor, Stitch's Great Escape is rumored to be removed in favor of a VR racing game. And by VR, I mean virtual reality. A Wreck-It Ralph attraction based on Sugar Rush. Great idea. If the rumor is to be believed, the two theaters inside of Stitch's Great Escape will be gutted. They've basically been the same layout since 1971 Flight to the Moon. Stop and think about that for a minute. Those theaters are going to be gutted to make room for a number of simulator-based racing carts, which guests could board wearing VR headsets that would transport them into the video game world of Wreck-It Ralph. Guests may even get to design their cars in the pre-show area, similar to Test Track. The investment would make sense with the Wreck-It Ralph sequel coming in 2018, and the box office for the original film was quite strong worldwide. Also, Stitch's Great Escape has been one of the least popular attractions in Disney history, often testing negatively with guests who experience it. I would love to know the number of people who tested negatively with that one and see how it scores with under new management. I would love to have known those numbers.
Yeah.
This project will be part of a large overhaul of Tomorrowland expected over the next few years, leading into the 50th anniversary celebration for the Magic Kingdom, which could include an e-ticket attraction the likes of the Tron Light Cycle Power Run at Shanghai Disneyland next door to Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress or Space Mountain. Oh, be still my beating heart.
Wow.
Let me finish this and we'll talk about that. Tomorrowland has recently undergone a number of cosmetic changes, including the repainting of Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress and the currently ongoing entrance area rock work, all of which will be just the first phase of this overhaul. Disney, of course, has said nothing about the project as of yet, so we will have to wait and see if we're getting a virtual Sugar Rush at the Magic Kingdom, or we'll just have to settle for Plaza Ice Cream Sundaes. Nice writing. We were there the other day, and there was a group of Imagineers, and they were pointing and thinking and writing and making notes, and I tried really hard to kind of just, you know, find out what they're talking about.
Can I help you with some suggestions?
Sure.
Dear Imagineer? That's what I would have said. Can I help you?
Hey, guys, this is great that you guys are doing this, but do me a favor. Go over and help them out at Animal Kingdom and open up that friggin' area because Universal's kicking your butts. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they are doing a lot of work over at Tomorrowland in the sense of painting. They are painting everything that's not bolted down. All the rocks, all the fixtures, the entrance things, carousel part, everything is being repainted. So it is looking a little spiffy.
Yeah.
But spiffy does not make better attractions.
No, the Carousel of Progress has recently been painted. Yeah, recently been painted. Plus, I believe they've redone the carpet and upholstery on the seats.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Update the last scene, please. That's all you need to do. All you need to do is update the last scene. That ride is perfect. Just update that scene. That's all you have to do. Bring it into the 2000s, at least. Right. You know?
So,
but here's the other thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I mean, a Tron light cycle and something and a Sugar Rush ride. Come on, that's too much for me. That's too much.
Here's the problem. Can you have Tron light cycle right next, which is a roller coaster?
Yeah.
Right next to Space Mountain, which is a roller coaster.
No, that would be just be silly. It would be very silly. Which one would you go on? Which one do you think would have? there'd be this huge line over here, and then nobody over here.
I don't agree with that. I think that there's enough, dude. Do you? You probably don't, because you know you're not like your typical Disney person.
Okay.
You probably don't ride the Seas with Nemo and Friends, do you?
Oh, I do.
Okay. Most people ride that attraction. Why?
I don't know.
Because they can't get into Soarin', or they're waiting for a fast pass to Soarin'. There's a reason that Circle of Life video lasted so long, because there's nothing else to do in the land pavilion other than Living with the Land, which is a pretty long wait time some days, or Soarin'.
Yeah.
And you're already there, and if you're not hungry, hey, we've got this video with Timon and Pumbaa from Lion King. Oh, I like those guys. Let's watch a 30-year-old video. I just want that video to play one time and then say, So, yeah, I think that there would be a lot of people that would be in line for the Tron ride, but I still think a ton of people would be in line for Space Mountain, because it's Space freaking Mountain.
Yeah, and it's old school. I get that. I think a lot of people like those old school things too. So I think they'd be into it, but I don't know. We'll have to see. I definitely would like to see Stitch, something done with that. I think agree. It's had its time.
Yep, it's, I agree.
I know you love Stitch, but it may be time to retire it.
Hey, you know what? I love Stitch, but the attraction's not great. Yeah. My question to you is, are you okay with losing Autopia?
I think I am. I think I yes, a little, and no, maybe more. You know, it is a classic attraction, but as long as they keep the original one at Disneyland, I'm fine with us losing ours. I think the original one at Disneyland needs to stay, because that was really the original one. Ours was just a copy of that, and ours, I think, can be, sacrificed for something like Tron.
Sure.
You know, because they do not have the space for a Tron ride. You know, so I think, you know, keep that. We'll get Tron. If you want to come see Tron, come over and see us. You know, that's what I would say. But
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Yep.
And I think I would love to see it all done by the 50th. You know, they got 5 years to do it, so.
Well, Disney. Taking a little time on that Avatar land, so don't hold your breath.
Well, hopefully they'll be done with that soon, and they can focus all their attention on, the 50th anniversary, so.
How many Imagineers does it take to finish a land update?
I don't know. The ones that are left over at Avatar, I would think. Okay. New priority seating option is now available at Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. A new ticketing option has been added to Mickey's Backyard Barbecue over at Walt Disney World. That's here. A seasonal offering that takes place at the outdoor pavilion located in the settlement at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campgrounds. In addition to a great meal, it includes entertainment by a live country band, line dancing, and character appearances. Guests can now reserve a Category 1 ticket, which will give them early access to the Backyard Pavilion, priority seating, and early access to food and drinks, plus a meet and greet with Mickey and Minnie and friends before the show. Category 1 tickets are $72 for adults, that's ages 10 and up, and $47 for the youngins. Also, the Category 2 ticket is $62 for an adult and $37 for the kids. two table service credits on the Disney Dining Plan if you're using it for either of the categories. You can book by going online or at 407-WDW-DINE. I've not done this. I think I did this, but it was a long time ago. Yeah, it may be time to go back, but not during
the summer. No. We should definitely do this. Is it worth $10 extra to get your photo taken with, you know, Frontier, Mickey, and Minnie? It may be, but for $10 extra, I don't see, you know.
And early access to the pavilion and priority seating, and you can get your food first.
Right. That's and I don't know how they do the food there. Is it self serve?
I think it's
a
buffet. Like,
so yeah, I don't know. I think they might have priced this. I can't believe I'm saying this. They might have priced it incorrectly, because if it's $62 for an adult, I'd pay the $10 extra to go in a little early.
Yeah, I would. You know,
how much early, I guess, would be the question.
It doesn't matter. Anytime you can be in front of the masses at Disney, it's well worth the $10.
Yeah, but if you're taking up all that time getting your photos done and then you're stuck.
No, I think you'll do all of that before anybody. I think you'll do your photos, you'll get in, and then all the masses will be let in. Then when they open up the buffet, they'll probably corral you in first. You'll get all your first pickings.
So for $10 a person, totally makes sense. I would do that just to be able to get a picture with Mickey and Minnie that you can't really normally get.
Yeah. Yeah, in his little country gear.
Assuming that they're A, wearing that outfit, and B, it's Mickey and Minnie. But it says so in the press release.
Yeah, Yeah. I think so. I do it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'll have to look into it.
Well, guys, if you think you have what it takes, Disney is searching for the 2017 Moms panel beginning on September 7th. So we're just a few days away. The search for the 2017 Disney Moms panel will begin. This is the 10th year that Disney has made their annual search for new panelists, adding more than 140 moms, dads, and grandparents since the program began in 2007. Disney is looking for experts on all types of Disney vacations, including Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Vacation Club, and even Run Disney. They're also looking for applicants that speak Portuguese, French, and Spanish. Hola, ¿cómo está? These are the people who answer questions from, like, the Disney Moms blog. There's a blog.
There's a whole website for them.
I've heard that the questions can be pretty crazy. Like, you know, what's the fastest way to get to a bathroom if you're here?
Okay. You know? Here's a question for you. They've been doing this for 10 years. What question has not been asked and or answered that you couldn't just copy and paste that answer from? I mean, there's got to be now a catalog of questions, and they've probably been answered. You could probably just copy and paste. All right, pricing things, you'd have to make sure the price is right. Times, you'd have to make sure the times are right. But I've applied every year, and I have not made it. So I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that.
Well, here's the thing. This is why they change every year. Mm. If you're standing at the Haunted Mansion, what's the closest bathroom?
I would go to Columbia House.
Right. You might. Or you could tell them to go around the corner and go to the Tangled restroom area.
The $20 million bathrooms that they built?
Right, the $20 million bathroom. But before the Tangled area opened, it was either Columbia House or it was the bathrooms in between Fantasyland. I actually had to go all the way around and up
Peter
the hill.
Pan. You could have gone to Peter Pan.
By Peter Pan. Yeah, so that's why things change. Queues change, attractions change, things update. So, yeah, I can see it. And you know what? New stories, new blog content. Google loves that. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I'm going to apply again, and we'll see what happens.
Yes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you my favorite story of the week. Go ahead, Tony.
Really? This is your favorite story of the week?
Yes.
Wow. I did not know. Are you a fan?
I am so excited by this. And I'll tell you why. Get through the story, and then I'll tell you why I'm so excited by this development.
We have some news. It's kind of Disney Springs related. Guy Fieri, who was the Food Network star's first winner, is teaming up with Robert Earl, who owns Planet Hollywood, for a whole Guy Fieri-inspired menu. Celebrity chef Guy Fieri will develop a new burger and sandwich menu for the reopening of Planet Hollywood at Disney Springs. The restaurant is set to reopen this fall as the Planet Hollywood Observatory. There'll be a new theme, which was created along with a complete storyline that will fit into the Disney Springs theming that this story that they have. Robert Earl, and if you don't know who Robert Earl is, you should Google him because he's a very interesting person. He had a show on too, Eating or Dining with Robert Earl. He's a very funny man. He owns a lot of things, but go check him out. So Robert Earl is the founder of the Planet Hollywood and the star of Robert Earl's Be My Guest. That's the show on the Cooking Channel. Asked Guy Fieri to help design a portion of the new menu, which will have bold flavors and a wide variety of offerings. Earl said, Guy Fieri has created an impressive culinary empire and has built an incredible TV following with several food-themed shows. So it was a no-brainer to invite him to create a special menu for Planet Hollywood Observatory. The partnership only furthers our commitment to refresh our guest experiences while continuing to offer freshly prepared, pleasing dishes. End quote. Some of the items Fieri has created include the primetime American Kobe-inspired burger and the turkey pick-a-nic sandwich. Fieri said, it's awesome to be working with Robert Earl and the Planet Hollywood team. For the Planet Hollywood Observatory, I'm bringing a big-time burger and sandwich menu with real-deal flavors for everyone. End quote. The remodeling of the restaurant will be reminiscent of the Turner Century Observatory with a modern design aesthetic. While the interior is refurbished upholstery, spherical planet-shaped lighting fixtures, and stylish finishings will create a welcoming atmosphere for fans to celebrate a new generation of a superstar entertainers, there will be an outdoor terrace, we knew that, and a bar, plus all new merchandise line. Wow, I'm shocked.
Dun, dun, dun.
I used to go around and collect Planet Hollywood shirts. You know, every city I went to, I got a Planet Hollywood shirt. But it's always weird going to the studios and going through that Planet Hollywood store. It's like so weird, you know, and so out of place, I think.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong.
And now, I understand why they have it open now, because there's no place to get the Planet Hollywood merchandise. But when they open up the place again, I hope they get rid of that. It just doesn't belong in the studio. Well,
it was there. It's been there for as long
it's
as
I've been there a long time. A long, long time.
Right. Here's why I'm excited by
all
this
right, go ahead.
The most. Okay, so in my former life, I got to go on a Carnival 2.0 cruise. Now, Carnival has a lot of ships, and this 2.0 thing was a complete ship redesign for their entertainment and their dining and their beverage options. And that's when, like, the Alchemy Bar became a big deal.
Yeah.
And they fostered relationships with Blue Iguana.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, breakfast and lunch tacos and burritos and stuff. And the other person they partnered with was Guy Fieri. So they have Guy's Big Bite burgers on the ship. So you can dine, you can do breakfast, you know, wherever you want to, but starting at lunch and going till, I don't know, a certain time in the afternoon, you can get a Guy's Big Bite burger. These burgers were off the damn chain. We would go and eat lunch, and then we would go a couple hours, and then we would go back and have a Guy's burger. We were on the ship for 7 days. We probably consumed 14 burgers total.
Wow.
They're amazing. And the thing is they're really not, I mean, they're not spectacular. They just happen to be really, really good. And they have like a fixins bar and all that good stuff. But, you know, they got chili and cheese, and how they prepared the stuff was really, really good. The fries are great. It's just the burgers were just that good. And maybe it was because I was on a cruise line. Right. But I've had good food on cruise lines before. Disney's got great food. Mm-hmm. But the two signature dining on these two on the Carnival ship that I was on, one of them was Guy's. The other one was the Blue Iguana. Both phenomenal. And Guy's burgers were amazing. So if even one of these burgers is even close to the quality and the taste of that burger that I have in my mind, right, I cannot wait. And besides, he's got a turkey picnic thing. I just, you know, I'm excited by that. I think it's great. I'm a Guy Fieri fan. I know he's got his flaws.
Yeah, he does have some pretty, you know, I've watched his cooking shows and things like that. And he does, you know, make some very bold choices in flavors, you know.
Yeah, but so. the burgers are just legit and totally worth it. So that was my number one. I was so excited we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're not doing the whole menu because, well, maybe it isn't. Maybe he didn't want to do a whole menu design. Maybe just in the things he's really good at.
Well, then they'd have to call it Guy Fieri's, blah, 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 blah. I don't think they wanted to give him that much. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they wanted it to be Guy Fieri's Planet Hollywood. Just, you know.
Yeah. So, and we should mention this. They are building here in Orlando, not that far from Disney, a Planet Hollywood resort.
It's, really?
Yes, plans have been filed, papers have been submitted. It's going to be this huge, like 22-story hotel with, you know, restaurants and dining and shopping. It's going to be a high-end experience. They're going for the you know, deluxe.
Where are they putting that bad boy?
It's over by the premium outlets, somewhere over there, like in the Vineland area. So
they're going to have that, and then they've got on 192. Right near, like right across literally the street from Animal Kingdom, they're building Margaritaville.
Margaritaville, yeah.
That's could be outstanding.
Yeah.
I'll be able to see Margaritaville from my house.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
So Halloween's right around the corner. And so Disney made some announcements about some Disney Vacation Club things happening on both coasts. On the afternoon of October 31st, Disney Vacation Club will host exclusive holiday parties for both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Disneyland guests at the Grand Californian Hotel and Spa will be able to enjoy the Disney Villains because they're going to take over the event space, appearing for meet and greet and photo opportunities with attendees. The themed snack menu will include Cruella de Vil black and white puppy chow, not made from real puppies, don't write in.
Or dog food.
Evil witch finger cookies, not made from witches' fingers, and Maleficent mini chocolate cakes, probably made of chocolate. The event will feature a DJ dance party themed games like bobbing for poisoned apples and more. Not real poisoned apples, kids. Don't write letters. So that's going to be cool. I'm DJ dance a lot, and you're going to be bobbing for apples. Oh, when they're poisoned. Hey, have fun with that. The event's going to run from 3 to 5 p.m. for 2 hours on Monday, October 31st, 2016. Cost is a mere paltry $20 per person, age 3 and up, with a full payment due at the time of booking. Attendance is limited to eligible Disney Vacation Club owners and up to 16 guests.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
But if you're paying $20 a pop, I mean, you know, a valid DVC member identification card and photo ID must be presented upon arrival. Reservations begin on September 1st via the Disney Vacation Club member services. Now, don't forget, at Walt Disney World, they will play host to the Nightmare Before Christmas Halloween Treat, held in the ballroom of the Americas at Disney's Contemporary Resort. This event will feature character meet and greets and decor inspired by Tim Burton's signature animated film. Custom refreshments include Jack Skellington pumpkin tarts, not made from real tarts. My English friends will think that's funny as I'll get out. Sandy Claus strawberry coconut smoothie, not made from sand or claws, and Oogie Boogie cupcakes. Face paint and crafts and music will also complement the festivities. Two sessions will be offered for the Florida event from 3 to 5 and from 7 to 9. Cost is $20 per attendee. Over age 3 with payment due at booking, eligible DVC Club members may bring up to 16 guests. Valid member ID and photo ID must be present at check-in. Reservations are available now for the Florida event. Call DVC Member Services to book.
I got to get on that.
You got to get on that. That'd be a lot of fun, my friend.
Yeah,
count me in. I think that'd be fun. I would enjoy doing that. Maybe we do the earlier one so we can still get home and do trick-or-treating at home.
I was thinking of doing that and then going to California Grill for dinner.
I like the way you think. I like that idea better.
Screw the treats. Let's go do it up at the California Grill.
That's right. Let's do that. That sounds better.
Hey, here's the last rumor. I feel like there's a lot of rumors this week, but
no real news, just rumors, kids.
Yeah, it's real, real fake stuff. Hey, there's a rumor going around that the Contemporary Resort Convention Center is going to be demolished. So here's the way it goes. Plans were recently filed, which we mentioned on this show, to expand the convention center at Disney's Yacht and Beach Club. While this move does not send shockwaves across the Central Florida landscape, the next move may be a little bit more dramatic. According to one rumor, the Yacht and Beach Convention Center expansion is a precursor to the removal of the convention facilities at the Disney's Contemporary Resort. One person says that they indicate that the Yacht and Beach addition, Disney would proceed with the demolition of the Contemporary's convention facilities to make way for an additional DVC presence. The Contemporary's existing DVC development, Bay Lake Tower, opened to guests in the summer of 2009, and the building was constructed on property formerly housed by the Contemporary's North Wing. Over the years, there have been speculation that the resort's South Garden Wing may someday host a similar DVC building, bringing the symmetrical look to the resort. Other confirmed reports have suggested that the land under the South Garden may not be suitable for another 16-story building. There was also a rumor, and this is what I heard, and I haven't seen it yet or evidence of it, but originally when they did a concept art for the Bay Lake Tower, there were two towers on each side of the main building. So it is possible, and if somebody can pull that concept art up from 2009, I'd love to see a picture of that. Hey, this is my home resort. I think the more the merrier. But, you know, do we need another DVC there? And here's the other thing people are arguing about on the internet too, is if they put it where the South Wing is, which is kind of behind and to the right of the main building, a lot of the floors, the lower floors will not have a Magic Kingdom view because there's a big Contemporary blocking their view. So even though it would be Magic Kingdom facing, they're really not going to see a Magic Kingdom. They're going to see a Contemporary Kingdom. They could do it further past the current building. If you're looking at the building, the Bay Lake Tower building, they could do it to the left of that. There's tennis courts over in that area and a parking lot. They could go that way. But that's really going to be a not-so-great view, I don't think, because they're going to be looking at kind of some of the back area of Space Mountain and things like that, which may not be a fun view. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution will be, or even if they need it. I also don't think that they're going to put this over where the convention center is. And here's my thinking for that. If you currently drive towards the Contemporary Resort, on the right-hand side, you'll see they're almost going to have the Wilderness Lodge bungalows butting right up against the convention area. So those things, those two things would be very close to each other. And I don't think they're going to put a big building and then some bungalows. Because that won't be a fun view for those people in the bungalows, but maybe they don't care. So
yeah, the other thing you have to start factoring in is if they start building these another tower, they're going to have to figure out a way that they can at least bring some type of, you know, shopping / quasi dining area, because I mean they're already dealing with that in Bay Lake Tower number one. You still have to walk over to the Contemporary, which is a pretty long haul if you want to get your sodas and your food and stuff. Another tower, no matter where they would put it, unless it's on the exact opposite side of the Contemporary, which would not be possible.
Yeah.
Would be another long haul. And I don't know. You know, I understand that they're putting in some more convention space at the Yacht and Beach Club or the Yacht Club, but I don't know if they're going to be able to offset that much convention space at the Contemporary. Yeah. And they do a lot of things there, and I'm not sure that makes the most sense. I don't understand why Disney is not, and this is what I'm confused by, when these rumors come out, when these stories come out, I don't understand. I mean, I know that it's probably way more expensive, but the existing infrastructure certainly can't house that many more rooms. Why don't you find some space somewhere and build? Excuse me, I have the hiccups. Build another resort somewhere. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, here's the other thing too: at the Contemporary, where are you going to park all those extra cars? That parking lot is already taxed as it is, and gets the capacity very quickly on very busy days, only because everybody uses it as a parking lot for the Magic Kingdom, number one, which they shouldn't. And number two, if you build a whole nother 16-story building, where are you going to put all those cars? That's one thing. The other thing to consider is if you think about revenue per square foot, I don't think a 16-story hotel makes as much revenue as convention space. I think you can make more revenue per square foot with convention space than you can a hotel. Because not every night is a hotel room booked. But if you have the convention space, I'm not saying that it's booked every night, but you could probably make money faster in convention space than you can in a hotel room.
But because
that would be my guess.
But because it's vacation club, you already have people offsetting a lot of the money behind that.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know. Somebody would have to run those numbers.
Yeah.
Or maybe somebody has already at Disney. And they said, well, that's right. The way we're going.
This is what we're going to do, by golly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I wish that, you know, the technology, you know, is probably developed enough where that big piece of land out there, maybe they could build the Venetian resort that they were going to build way back when. I would be fine with that. I mean, heck, another resort on the monorail loop. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. If they do build another 16-story building, they're going to need more restaurants. They're going to have to make that the place to buy food, you know, for your room and all that kind of stuff. They're going to have to make that bigger. I don't know. I just think it would be, you know, I'm not going to say no, because you never say no at Disney World. You know, as soon as you say no, then they do it. I think they do it just on spite. Just to make us mad. So,
right. Understood.
All right, kids. If you want to chat and find more things about what we're talking about, please visit us at thedisneyparkspodcast.com. You can also have this conversation online on Facebook. Go visit us on Facebook / Disney Parks Podcast. You could tweet us at Disney Podcaster. So tell us what you think about all this stuff. You know, all these rumors, Guardians of the Galaxy, no Marvel, no Marvel, Contemporary, no Contemporary. You know, everybody's got an opinion, and we'd love to hear yours. And that's it. As we say around here, kids, we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.